Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, reading verse 5 through 10. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not, or don't go, into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And our text for today, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you. We come before your throne, and Lord, we love you. And Lord, we need you. Help us to understand your word as I preach it today. Please reveal yourself to us, as our sermon today says. Please help us, O God. And we give you all the praise, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus calls his 12 disciples, gives a few instructions, and says, look, go preach. And we covered this last time. He said that as you preach, tell the people the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And again, we've looked at that last week. And I asked the question, why don't we in America do this today? Why do we not believe the Word of God? Maybe there aren't any lepers anymore since they found a cure for Hansen's disease. But there's sick people all over the place. Maybe we don't know anything about raising the dead, and we don't even believe in demon spirits, so how can we cast them out? But surely, people with incurable diseases are everywhere we look. Diabetes is incurable, depending on the kind you have and depending on diet, but it's incurable. Some cancer is incurable. Probably hundreds and hundreds of diseases I don't know anything about are incurable. At least, let us believe God for healing. But generally, we don't know anything about that. And it's a failure in our country, in our denominations, Some denominations absolutely teach, nope, God don't heal no more today. Brother. Yet, the book says God does. And in fact, the book of Acts closes out. Paul found himself in an out-of-the-way place, and he preached the gospel. He showed the power of God, and people began to come to him saying, hey, I got this thing on my arm, it won't go away, will you pray? Or whatever the case. Acts 28, you can read it. Jesus gives the command, and then the record, the narrative of the New Testament closes out with Paul the Apostle obeying this command, keeping this charge, going and doing this mission. Again, we talked about this last week, but verse 9 and 10, that as you go and you're preaching and you're doing these miracles, don't take any money. You know, money's a thing that makes the world go round. Money's necessary. I gotta pay rent, gotta pay insurance, gotta pay this, gotta pay that, gotta pay Rouse's or wherever I shop. But he said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. And purse, we know what a purse is. But it's not just for women. In that day, it was a generic term. And when I was a kid, I used to carry a coin purse, so I guess it's valid. Okay, don't keep coins in your wallet if you want to bring it up to date. But if you'll notice, there's a progression. Don't take gold. You can do a lot with a gold piece, nor silver. It's still a precious metal, but it won't buy as much, nor brass in your purse. And brass is just brass. Who cares about brass? They make faucets out of brass. They don't make faucets out of gold. So don't provide a lot of money as you go in the mission field. Don't provide a moderate amount of money. And don't even provide the cheap stuff. And this is completely contrary to how we do it today. Don't provide any coins, verse 10, nor scrip for your journey. A scrip is probably a leather pouch. We see this on TV. Everybody's seen Westerns. Everybody knows that if you were going to go on the journey to wherever, you had some hardtack, or you had some beef jerky or whatever, you put it in your pouch, your saddlebag, if you will. He says, but don't take your funds with you, and don't bring any food for your journey. No money, no food. I'm going to get about 2 blocks and turn back. Don't take 2 coats. I mean, if it's cold, you take 1 coat, but don't take 2. Neither shoes. I don't understand that. Because the disciples wore shoes or sandals when Jesus took off those sandals and washed their feet. I don't understand this where it says don't take any shoes, nor yet staves. A staff, you can use it for walking, I guess. And you can use it when the bandits come or the wolves come or whatever to beat them off. So if you're going to go preach, don't plan ahead to come up with, okay, I need so much money and the hotel's $100 a night if I get a cheap one and there's gas at $4 a gallon and I'll need this much money to go. He said, don't do that. Don't pack extra food. Don't provide extra. For it says, the workman is worthy of his meat. And most people will read this verse or these two verses and shake their heads and say, this doesn't match up with reality. And many will dismiss this verse and many other verses in the Bible. Just dismiss it. Just read over it with a little chuckle maybe and say, well, we understand. But this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. In America, many churches will sponsor missionaries. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And if you're not sponsoring missionaries, there's something wrong with your church. But we have to raise money to go on the mission field. We've got to be sponsored. We've got to go from church to church to church to church, telling how we did this, and we stayed in that village, and we talked to these guys, and this guy got saved, and we tell the story of what happened on the mission field when we went last. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to hear reports from the mission field. Oh, and you heard my report, and that's good. Well, look, I'm going to take a collection afterward. But they do this, and they call it itinerating. They come home on furlough from the mission field, and they go raising the money to go back. And it benefits the church. It does. It certainly benefits the church that they would hear the testimonies and that they would pray for the nation where the missionaries going to. Is it Peru or Afghanistan or wherever in the world? That's a good thing. I'm not against that. And Jesus is not against that. But as he's sending out his 12, he says, don't provide any of that. Don't do any fundraising. Don't do any spaghetti dinners. Just go and trust me. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 27. He said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. In other words, a plant doesn't work. It just sits there. It doesn't spin. Doesn't spin cotton in the thread, so that you can then make your clothes. The lily just sits there in the sun, growing, doesn't work for anything. But Jesus said that King Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. A lily, when it blooms, is a beautiful flower. And God does the providing for that flower. Again, he doesn't work for it. He just sits there and grows. And God causes the beautiful flower to appear. Again, we have to raise money to go on the mission field. But Jesus said, that's not the way to do it. You know, I've been to Haiti 5 times, and I did it on a shoestring. I would take a week off of work, and I'd have a few $100s. It cost, however, a couple of $100, whatever, for the plane ticket. We have to stay somewhere when we get there, and there's an orphanage in Port-au-Prince. It's run by a monk, actually. But he rents half of his orphanage out as a hotel. And it was always cheaper to go there than anywhere else. And it cost for a week or 2 weeks, whatever, with plane ticket and food and whatever, and the hotel, about $500 a week. And this was back in the 90s, so it's a bit different. And a few people helped me. And that's good. I'm thankful for it. But I'm trying to get something across. As we follow God, we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. And again, most missionaries, they raise their money ahead of time. I get that. But there's trust. And His disciples, as He sent them out, the 12, they had to trust. And He said, the workman is worthy of his meat. If you go to work and Friday comes and they give you a check, you are worth whatever that check is. The boss may complain about it. You may complain it's not enough. Whatever. But if you're not worth what the guy's paying you, at some point he'll fire you and hire somebody that's more worth it. But if you're going to work for God in preaching the gospel, in testifying, in whatever, if you work for God, God is the boss, and He will pay you. However He decides to pay you. And it may be at the end when we get our reward in heaven. But if we work for God, God is able to write the check and it ain't going to bounce. God is able. God owns everything when you think about it. And when we trust Him as we work for Him, He provides. And again, as we read many times in the Scriptures, God says one thing, and we look at reality and we say, I don't understand how it matches. And I know I'm saying it wrong. I know I'm not getting it across properly. But we ought to trust God. We ought to trust God. But when it comes to trusting, we have trials. It's difficult to pay the rent. Gas is going up. And then you have a fender bender and it costs $500 to fix. And you're like, I don't even have the money to pay the rent. How am I going to pay? You understand. Trials. Or you get sick or something happens or whatever. Trials. Difficulties in life. God knows about them. God knows everything that's going to happen to you before it happens to you. So when things happen, trust Him. If we have a mindset and a lifestyle of prayer, if we take our problems to God, sometimes you say, well, the prayer's not answered, but sometimes the prayer is obviously answered by God. And that, as we bring our problems to God, we learn to trust. And oftentimes some of the things that we struggle with is internal, in our mind or in our heart. Maybe it's not, well, I got to pay the extra $500 because I hit somebody's car, whatever. It's not that. But maybe there's trouble in your family and you pray and God somehow works it out. You can't put that down on paper or balance the checkbook and whatever. But you know it was God that answered the prayer. And again, this builds trust. And as we pray, as we depend upon God, as we develop that in our lives, God is glorified. God gets the credit. God gets to brag. Hey, Fred down there, you see all the troubles? He's trusting me. Again, as we trust in God, God is glorified. And as He told the disciples, go, but don't provide ahead of time for your needs, that has to do with trust. And they had to pray as they went every night, because they didn't know where they were going to sleep or where they were going to get food or whatever the case. They had to trust. In the Psalms, we'll read again and again and again of problems that whoever was writing the particular psalm, he tells about his problems, and he says that he praises God and thanks God and calls out to God, and God answers and meets his need. Now there's 150 psalms, and they all talk about different things, but quite often you'll find examples of that. Again, it speaks of a lifestyle of trusting God, a mindset of trusting God, a decision to say, hey, they say I ought to do this instead, and well, the obvious natural thing, the smart thing to do is to do that, but I'm going to trust in God and see what He will do. And again, the Psalms are full of examples of where the person brought their need to God and God answered them. I was reading this morning, or this afternoon, or whatever. I was reading again about Jehoshaphat. And toward the end of his life, two or three different tribes came and they were going to invade Judah. And when he heard about it, when he got the report, he said, okay, y'all, everybody, y'all come to Judah, y'all come to Jerusalem, and let's call out to God. Let's tell God, hey, we have this problem, these guys are going to invade, and we don't know what to do. Now, Judah had an army. Jehoshaphat had some understanding of war. They could have put up some kind of defense or had some kind of strategy. But they proclaimed, Lord, we're not going to depend upon our army. We're not going to depend on our wisdom and military strategy or understanding or whatever. We don't know what to do. And God answered when the people came and said, Lord, please help. God answered through a prophet and said, look, tomorrow y'all get up. You know, get your weapons, whatever. Get your spear or whatever, your sword, your combat boots or whatever y'all had. Y'all go out to the battle, but I'm going to win. I'm going to win for you. And just like at the Red Sea, when Pharaoh was coming, Moses heard from God, and God said, hey, stand still. Don't do nothing. Don't try to help me. And we know the story, that all the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. Well, the story of Jehoshaphat and their battle was the same way, that Judah didn't have to fight, but that Moab and Seir and those other guys, they fought against themselves. I mean, they were supposed to be fighting Judah. That's what they came for. But they started fighting each other, and in the end, everybody was dead. And the armies of Judah went back to Jerusalem and celebrated and thanked God for the great victory. That's what we need to do. We need to walk in trust. We need to walk in dependence of God. For if we believe the Word of God, and we try to obey it, and we try and we act like we love God, in other words, respect Him, look to Him, try to obey Him, He says that He'll give the victory to us, so that His name is glorified. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today. and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.